Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, creamy baby, sticky seeds with Timmy as an hour turtle and his teeth. There's still not more that he won't speak of. Doug
Oh, you guys are so nice coming out at 5 o'clock. Some people in the standby line and the regular line. Regular line people got here early too, but standby line had people here since 3:30. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which is 40 minutes after 4:20. So I'm doing pretty good here in San Francisco. They draw it on the wall behind me so that I know where I am. That's a rider in my contract when I perform in clubs. I'm like, draw the city's landmarks on the wall behind me so that I can glance at it and know where I am. Have you guys taken the trolley car that goes up the side of the pyramid building? Goes right up the side of that thing. That is fucking hairy. You get up to the top, you shoot off, and you crash into the Tanner house. Everywhere we look, there's a trolley car murdering our bodies. All right, I don't remember how that song goes. This is I Love Movies. I may have mentioned that already. We're at the Sketch Fest in San Francisco, otherwise known as San Francisco Sketch Fest. And applaud if you guys have been to or going to more than one event at Sketch Fest this year. Awesome. Very cool. There's lots of great stuff going on. I can't wait to see Conan tomorrow and hear everything that he has to say about what's been going on in his life lately. Like, what's his home life like? You know, we know about all the other stuff. No, Conan had to postpone, but they will. I'm sure he'll do it at a later date. But as everybody knows, I am Team Coco, and yeah, you know, you all are too. Like, I wrote on Twitter, hey, I'm Team Coco, don't watch Jay Leno when he takes his Tonight Show back. And I thought, who's following me on Twitter that watches Jay Leno on the Tonight Show? Feet on desk, my job is done. I forget if there's any other special announcements I'm supposed to make at the beginning of the show, other than this is a co-podcast you guys are treated to. I'm sure there's people that here that listen to both podcasts, I Love Movies and Comedy Death Ray. And so the gentleman that hosts Comedy Death Ray, Scott Aukerman, good friend of mine, he is going to be doing his podcast immediately after this one, podcast doubleheader. So, yeah. And hopefully along the way we'll come up with some sort of cliffhanger or something that'll make people have to listen to the other one. Like, if anybody's about to reveal something really juicy, we'll say, stop, let's say it in Scott's show, and then people will have to listen to both. So let me bring the guests up to the stage. The theme is funny comics who are friends of mine that were at Sketchfest. and available to come out here and do this. And they are Scott Aukerman, Dana Gould, and Michael Ian Black, everybody. Gentlemen, hello. Yeah, that's how Dana Gould, Scott and I were talking about how anytime we call him on the cell phone, Dana, the first thing Dana says is, "I don't know who this is. I don't know who you are." And then you go, "Oh, it's Doug." And then he's like, "You're going to have to be more specific."
And I don't
it's weird.
Is this Doug Trumbull, director of Lightstorm?
Oh, the cinematographer that directed one movie?
Hey, very nice.
I do love movies, you guys.
I have to reach over you.
Okay, that's nice.
Linger.
Linger over Mr. Black.
Curious. And we're walking.
Why did you become a comedian? Why aren't you in fashion? Because Mr. Black is so... Or a villain. Why aren't you a villain? You don't... No pressure. You don't have to answer that. I wasn't ready for personal questions.
I read the New York Times.
We don't know he's not a villain.
No, you don't.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Being a comedian would be a perfect cover for a villain. For a villain. Or a villain. It's just a villain made of gelatin.
It's the Jell-O Master.
Scott Aukerman, say something so that the listeners get acclimated.
I have not said one word yet.
Yeah, you haven't said anything.
This is too many people on stage.
You think so?
No. Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me on. I'm very... Who the fuck is that?
Oh, it's the waitress. People are ordering drinks. We're in a comedy club. We're in a comedy club where the 7-drink minimum is going to be enforced. You're not leaving here not fucked up, you guys.
It's 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. The regular crowd shuffled in.
Okay. Thank you. Another joke would be...
They had theirs. Let's hear yours.
It's 5 p.m. on a Saturday. This is normally when Dave Chappelle ends the Friday night 11 p.m. show.
Bam! Local reference. Holy shit. He does do a long show. Would any of you guys ever do a long show? Like just sit there and talk for 7 hours?
This is the longest show I've done.
And you're tired of it already.
We do all-nighters sometimes. We've done shows till late in the morning.
Right, but with lots of comics.
Yeah,
not just the one dude sitting there.
No, but I host it, so I have to...
And saying I can smoke because I'm the one dude that's everybody's here to see.
That's when I go to work at that other club, Sleepy McPillows. This is Danny Gould calling, by the way.
Who is this?
People keep coming to Sleepy McPillows and laying down and falling asleep. We can't get them to order a drink. There's no laughs. This is ridiculous. Are they dreaming of comedy? Scott looked like he was going to say something.
I was going to tag it up. Yeah, I rescind.
Do you recuse yourself from the end of that joke?
Yes, sir.
Belay that tag.
Scott, do people hang out until 8 in the morning at your shows?
Yeah, no one leaves. It's great.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. Yeah.
There's always that feeling that you're going to miss the thing that's like...
They never do.
...that everybody talks about.
I feel like by 4:30, the thing has already happened. Yeah. Whatever that thing was going to be happened.
Then you go into... You pass 4:30, then you get into my amazing stamina. Like, people feel proud of themselves for sitting through a fucking show that was all night for no reason.
That was the Dave Chappelle day. I did 4 hours. I did 5 hours. It has nothing to do with why you're a comedian. It's like... I'm the musician with the shiniest trumpet.
Who cares? Who holds that record, anything? By the way?
He does also have
that record.
It's Dave Chappelle has the shiniest trumpet.
Yeah. It was Herb Alpert, and then he heard about it. And he opened up a trumpet shining stand at the Laugh Factory.
I'm pretty sure...
Managed to make it unfunny.
Trumpet is a euphemism, right?
Absolutely. Oh. In that case, I might have the shiniest trumpet.
Is trumpet shining stand... Isn't that PBS show hosted by Ringo Starr?
All right. That's shiny
Let's
trumpet
talk about movies. Let's talk about movies. Oh, right. You know that because you have children?
I have children, which is why I don't do shows till 8 p.m.
And your children love those shows where it's just like a train that smiles and goes down the track?
They go through a period where they like that, and then they move on. The funny thing about Shining Time Station was the original voice of Mr. Conductor was George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
So it was funny to hear the train in the same voice. That they're like, fuck you!
Yeah. The train would, like, the seven words you can't say on television were right. The seven stops
you can't
along the route. Next stop, cunt. Motherfucker, next.
My train's on rail.
My kids went right from watching Thomas to watching The Wire.
It's a reasonable transition. That's edumacational, that show, The Wire.
George Carlin was the voice of the train on The Wire, too.
Yes, he was.
We're going to go to Omar's. Weird. Thank you. Making fun of a dead man with Rick Moranis' impression of him.
For what it's worth, I don't think that was a very good impression of Omar at all.
I can do a good impression of Omar.
Listeners, he did something with his face. I'm one of those people, I'm so excited because I haven't seen a single episode of The Wire, and so
what?
I get to just fucking get crazy and watch them all back to back to back someday. You know,
they're better than a movie.
Queue.
What? Yeah, they're better than a movie. You might change the name of the podcast
no,
to Doug
I know.
Loves The Wire.
Well, that's the thing.
It's like Battlestar Galactica in low-income housing.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
But I think a lot of TV is better than movies, to be honest. I call bullshit, Doug.
I call bullshit.
Somebody hasn't seen It's Complicated.
Oh, God. I mean, as soon as I heard the title, I was like, oh, well, if it's complicated, don't count me in. I want something simple like Avatar.
How did this movie get classified as a comedy? It's complicated.
It got the R rating just because some characters smoke pot and have a good time.
Yeah, it's because children saw Steve Martin and thought it was a Mummy remake. Ooh, too soon.
Fat Baldwin, though, is...
He's hilarious.
He is so great in everything that I give that movie a passing grade just because he's one of the stars of it. And because, I think I brought this up on another podcast, and because Meryl Streep says the line, I like a lot of semen. At one point,
yes,
because
she
right,
she was
that was so weird.
She was forced to say that at gunpoint. By the way,
gunpoint is also a euphemism,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Someone pointed his shiny trumpet at her.
Yeah, full of semen. She was like, "I like a lot of it, so bring on the tuba."
A shiny trumpet full of semen. The Dizzy Gillespie story available now by HarperCollins.
So this podcast is about movies, and we've touched on a few, but let's
We're
go deeper.
Time,
let's go deeper, gentlemen. Let's go deeper. Anybody could jump in. What have you seen lately, Michael Ian Black? MIB.
It's screener season. So
it is.
If you're in the unions,
I'm doing the same thing. Yeah.
In the showbiz unions, you get sent all the DVDs from the previous year of films that they think might be award worthy. And you get to catch up. So I've caught up on It's Complicated was one that I just saw.
Yeah.
And I probably would have liked it better had I known that they weren't considering it for awards. Had I known...
If it was just a movie.
If they had just sent it out and said, here's a movie, I might have thought, all right, well, that's not terrible. But the fact that they sent it out thinking, well, this could be the best picture of the year made me think that's a horrible, horrible movie.
Wait, yeah, do the Oscars still give out the nicest kitchen award? Is that in the Oscars?
It's a new category.
She's trying to build a better kitchen than the gorgeous one that she has currently. It's bizarre.
Only they'd shot that kitchen in 3D.
Yeah. I walked out of my own house watching the screener of It's Complicated. I went to the movies to get away from it. Let's get out of here. My wife, it was like 11 o'clock at night. Let's get out of here.
What about Precious? Like, Precious to me has been sitting in my home like a loaded gun. Like, this is not going to be a good day when I pop in Precious.
I've had the same exact thing. It's literally sitting in my home.
If you can get Precious to go right into Big Mama Goes to Jail and convince yourself it's the same movie, it's fantastic.
It's the same character in both movies.
That guy can do anything.
That's my favorite mashup of the year. Such a good mashup. I've also got The Hurt Locker. Same exact thing. I've got Precious
Hurt Locker,
and The Hurt Locker.
I saw in the cinema, and that's what I call the number one movie.
Yeah, me
of the
too.
Year. It's fantastic.
And
but,
it's not
but
a
if
downer.
If it's at home, it's not a downer. But if it's at home, it is still pretty intense.
Well, if it's a choice between watching The Hurt Locker or HGTV, which is what we usually watch, I'll probably watch HGTV.
Whatever's on HGTV.
Whatever's on. TV.
It's the same show on HGTV every single half hour.
And it's wonderful.
Yes.
What have you seen lately, Dana?
I think the two best movies this year that I saw were Up and Up in the Air.
Hmm. So you're like fixated on a word.
Oh my God, someone disagrees.
I think it's funny that, like, you know, they might both be nominated for Best Picture, and if I were opening the envelope, if I were Warren Beatty or whoever they get.
Right.
Probably Warren Beatty.
Right? Judy Dench, maybe. I would open it up and go, the winner is Up! In the air.
In the air. Psych.
That'd be so fun.
You liked Up in the Air that much?
No, I enjoyed it.
Oh,
everything
okay.
else I hated.
Well, that's the thing. It was not. It's a bad year to suddenly nominate.
It does not suck. That's the big review.
But they're suddenly nominating.
No, it doesn't.
Ten movies are nominated for Best Picture this year.
It's like the base level of what a movie should be. You know what I mean? That's how I felt about it.
It didn't. I walked out of the theater going, that movie never called me stupid.
You didn't stay for the whole credits, did you?
Sometimes you watch a movie right
that
in the
dude's
middle.
That dude singing.
Yeah. Over the end credits, it's Phil Collins singing, "You're Stupid."
Whenever a guy in a movie rides an explosion, I say, "Go fuck myself." What?
Well, George Clooney rides an explosion of emotion.
Meryl Streep rides an explosion of semen, and I think
if I could say
it's a geyser. In fairness, it's a geyser.
I don't want to spoil Up in the Air for anybody, like the trailers and the commercials do, but it's just like it's always weird to me. Like I guess a movie has to do it that way, but it just feels like it's a little too. His whole change of heart seems a little too easy. Like mm-hmm. that he's met millions of people over the years that have said, "Oh, you just travel around and are a total douchebag. That's probably not a good life." And then finally, when we're watching him in the movie, he goes, "Oh yeah, these people are right."
Like, what if the movie were just about the times that he didn't change?
That's what I'm saying. Why did he need to change? That's my problem with the movie. Is he doesn't
movie.
Need to change. I already said we were spoiling it, but
he doesn't really. That's the point.
Oh, he doesn't.
He just becomes self-aware of his own shittiness.
And what happens is he tries to change. He gets dick punched for it.
He gets a brutal sidewalk cock slapping and gets right back on board.
But then he still kind of acts like he's changed. Like he should be like, "Well, now I'm fucking double not changed because of this dick punch that I got.
Double plus not changed. Yeah, from McMarried over here.
I'm gonna fucking go nuts now. I'm routing all my flights through Utah.
Right. Watch me sit now."
I'm going to fuck a lot of ladies who aren't caffeinated. All right, Scott.
What was the... Can I interrupt one second? I don't know. If
you please.
Ask me.
When I said... Well, ask the lady who said, "No!" when I said Up in the Air.
Yeah, what was your problem, lady?
Or weird dude.
Or five-year-old.
Are you the voice of Bart Simpson?
Can I ride the spaceship?
I think I heard a little
bit. Why don't you like it?
It just wasn't...
I just thought it wasn't that good of a movie.
Us or Up in the Air? Good. Up in the Air. Which one? Which one?
Up in the Air.
Up in the Air. Okay. Did you see Up?
I mean, I did.
Then shut up. Shut up.
Did you like
That's what
up?
The headline's going to say if it gets upset and doesn't win. It's going to say, "Shut up, out."
Right. Up, out, shut out. Did you like Up?
I like the montage
at
the beginning.
The montage in the beginning is a motherfucker. The montage in the beginning of Up can go to hell. It is so goddamn depressing. I had to go outside, find a guy with weed, do some negotiating. By the time I got back in there, there was a dog and a thing. I don't know what the fuck was happening.
And outside of the manga, nothing else touched you from that movie? Yeah.
I would.
Are you just too hip for your own good?
No, but Dana,
I can no longer enjoy life.
I can't believe she just went up.
Oh, what are you reading?
No. Yeah, we're talking about Precious again.
On the pages. Dana, what touched you in Up, though, aside from the first 20 minutes? I feel like that movie is getting a lot of...
I thought the mean dog with the crazy voice was hilarious. I love the image of the guy's inability to let go of his old life. I thought it was very...
I like that an old man can do Bruce Willis-style activity.
I like the concept.
Fucking hanging from a rope for 20 minutes.
I like the whole concept.
I can barely walk, but my fingers are still strong.
What an
an unrealistic cartoon.
You know,
the dogs flying the airplanes didn't throw you.
That's like,
it was the tensile strength of his fingers.
That's like Tom Kenny. Tom Kenny's old joke would be he'd go to anything like that and yell, fake.
Yeah. It's like,
awesome.
Again, a movie I always reference. In Planet of the Apes, somebody once said, where's the water pressure tanks for the hoses? Right.
I just think that...
Maybe I'll ask the talking gorilla.
What was it? What is your review of Planet of the Apes, by the way? It's one of my favorite reviews of any movie.
Gorillas dressed like Fonzie chasing Moses dressed like Tarzan. Greatest movie of all time.
I like the first 5 minutes.
Then I grew a goatee and put on some cargo shorts.
Slamming cargo shorts.
Don't make me slam cargo.
What have you seen, Scott?
I think the best movies of the year are...
That's interesting. Michael. What are the best ones?
Probably Transformers 2 and Old Dogs.
I knew there was a reason I cut you off. I'm an intuitive host.
Old Dogs is fucking crazy. Did you see it?
I did not see it.
It's fucking amazing. Like, it'll change your life. It will make you redefine, like, oh, wait, is this entertainment? Like, what am I... What, I go into a darkened room and I watch something? Like, what is happening? It's fucking amazing.
I'm waiting for a Wild Hogs, Old Dogs, Double Bill.
What would that be called?
Now I'll go Wild Hogged Old Dog, you know? I'll just fucking... I watch that with my pants off. Invite some children over. What are your kids doing, guys?
The inclusion of the... I didn't see the film, but I like the inclusion of the guy being cuddled by the gorilla on the poster.
Because it's one of the only laughs in the movie.
But it's like, that thing's in the movie. Put it on the poster. Well, I don't know what this movie's about. It's about two guys babysitting a guy who's owned by a gorilla?
What more do you need to know?
If you were five, and I believe you were at one point.
I was at one point.
Wouldn't you have wanted to see that movie because it was a gorilla holding a dude?
Yeah,
at five, yes. Yeah. So why is it on your top two?
Because
you're 7 times 5.
Thank you very much. I just thought it was like one of the craziest movies I'd ever seen. It was like, I love Cloudy with a Chance at Meatballs, but it was like
weren't we
20 times that. Like the most insane choices. Like it's a world where fucking jetpacks exist and no one blinks an eye. And they're just like,
old dogs,
yeah, Rob
old
Williams.
Dogs
is, yeah, Rob Williams is like, can I borrow that jetpack? And they're like, sure thing. And he just straps it on. Boo! And everyone's like, okay, that's what happens. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's a world where the zoo is closed at 3 p.m. It's like, I love whatever fucking parallel universe it is.
It's closed because they're filming. They had to close it down to film there. So we might as well put that in the script.
Not only is it closed, but they're having a birthday party on an island in the middle of it that you can't get to because all the boats have broken.
Jesus Christ. Netflix is going to go, why on Sunday, January, whatever tomorrow is, did everybody want to rent this movie?
Dude, you have to get high and watch
everyone
it.
Wants
it is
to
amazing.
See it now, right? It's crazy.
It is fucking amazing. Get high and just go, like, what? Like, is this like Earth 23? What is happening?
Oh, I should just quickly mention, because I want to mention this on every podcast until I can make it happen. This year, I want John Lithgow to be on my podcast because he was one of the living stars from the movie 2010.
Yes.
And I want to talk to him about how, you know,
I can do an impression of
how 2010 matches up to from that movie.
Yes.
Well, how many times did you see it?
Once, but I remember this distinctly.
Okay. This is Dana Gould.
This is John Lithgow looking at Jupiter at the end of 2010. It's melting!
I'm going to assume that was a good impression.
That was the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's what that was.
At the end of 2010, when Jupiter implodes upon itself and a bunch of monoliths begin to spin out of it,
I'm sleeping. But that's awesome. So. Yeah, so I want to get him on the show. So if anybody has access to John Lithgow, please make it happen.
A very underrated movie this year, also dictated by the fact that, like you, most of the times I go to the movies, it's with my kids. Coraline.
Oh, I love Coraline.
Great movie.
It's fantastic.
I heard it was especially amazing in 3D. I heard the 3D
You can buy it on
good.
Blu-ray in 3D. They give you glasses and everything.
Wow. Wow, so I got... What will it work if I don't have a Blu-ray machine?
Or any interest in seeing Coraline?
Those are great questions. Let me write to the manufacturer.
We're having a hard time targeting this demographic. What, the people that don't want to come to the movie specifically?
It's all four quadrants.
I love it.
I'll tell you what I actually loved, and I know a lot of people didn't, was A Serious Man, the Coen Brothers movie.
That was fantastic.
Isn't that great?
That
people
was fantastic.
Are over that's the moon
better than
about
up,
that
that's
movie.
Better than Up in the Air, actually. I think.
Oh, okay.
A lot of my friends who, well, in fairness, most of them are members of the Klan, did not like that movie.
The Klan of the Cave Bear?
Different Klan. It's a movie, for those of you who haven't seen it, about Jewish life in the 70s?
Late 60s, early 70s.
73?
I didn't want to. I'm Jewish myself and didn't want to see it.
It's not now. Let's just say that. It's not now. It doesn't take place now.
Well, you don't need to be. I'm not Jewish and I enjoyed it completely. I'm sure there were jokes I missed about
the even though it was set in the. Yeah.
Whatever you say, Dana Goldstein.
Dana Goldstein.
Changed it for show
Gold
business.
Bergman, Steinman, Love Moneyman.
I think even though it was set in the 50s or the 60s, I think it transcends that because it tells you that Jews are disgusting in any age.
Let's be clear, that was Scott Aukerman, host of Comedy Death Radio, coming up right after this.
What kind of name is Aukerman?
Yeah. Spoken like a true German.
Excuse me, my tall, blonde, blue-eyed friend. What kind of name is Aukerman? He's not a Jew, he's Jewish.
Best performance for Vermin in a movie this year. Serious Man. Speaking of which, Inglourious Basterds,
yes!
Also excellent.
Yes. Number two.
Great movie.
Excellent
number
film.
Two. It's my number two. And it's only my number two because Hurt Locker is number one because it's like, there's nothing I would change about Hurt Locker. And Inglourious Basterds is number two because there's a lot of stuff I would change about.
But it's still so overpoweringly good.
It's amazing. It's like, that's part of what fascinates me about Quentin Tarantino now, is that he's willing to piss me off for extended periods of time in every movie that he makes. He won't make something that from beginning to end I go, okay, I'm fine. That was really well done. There's always something that makes me go, what the fuck is that doing in there?
It amazes me that you take it so personally.
Yeah.
Why is Quentin doing this to me?
Why is he doing this to me? Why is he making an audio commentary? I've heard the expression, you know, enough. That you listen to 3 hours of him saying you know in front of everything he says.
You know, you don't have to watch the audio commentary. You can just go to the movie and they don't have that
on. Well, of course I don't have to watch the audio commentary, but if you want to get technical. But don't have to listen to it either, but I'm fascinated by those because they're such a... they're like, especially, have you ever listened to a Michael Bay commentary?
Surprisingly, no.
No, you know
what? His movies are great, and they were well-received when he does his commentary. Right. Everything he did was like, oh, that worked out perfectly.
I have never watched a Michael Bay movie with a commentary on because I know at one point I'm going to be dying and I'm going to be on the deathbed thinking of all the time I threw away in my life. And I don't want, like, oh, all those fucking Michael Bay commentaries. Get me that time back. District 9 I really enjoyed.
Oh, District 9 was good. It's good.
I liked the first 5 minutes, but then it totally sold out.
Who is that character?
That's my extrapolation of the ultimate version of that probably very intelligent, reasonable woman in the back.
You've extrapolated, bitch!
I've made her into a one-dimensional caricature, and now I'm making fun of that.
I love it.
So
my apologies. What?
So my apologies to the person.
No, she's taking it great. He's really cool with it.
You are my enemy.
Doug, you said you didn't see Precious? Is that...
I have yet to pull that trigger.
Based on the novel Push by Sapphire, of course.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I won't see it in the theater because I can't talk that long when buying a ticket.
Because you need
I
to
like
say
one
the
for
full...
Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire. And then the woman in the counter invariably, what?
Do you remember, Doug, how I believe it was we had this game when we used to see movies of you would just say one word.
Yeah, you always try to make them have to think about what they're doing because they never do when they're selling tickets to movies. So
say
them,
it was cloudy with a chance
weird.
Of meatballs. You would say...
I'd like a ticket for a whiff.
Chance. And watch them go, okay, chance. Cloudy with it, okay. And and usually 90% of the time you would get your ticket and they
so
would never ask
you. If you were going to go see Taken, for example.
Yes, which word would you choose? Microphone down.
I'd like a ticket, please.
Oh, well played, well played.
I still can't get over, and I probably already brought this up on a previous podcast, but in the trailer for Taken...
That movie is awesome.
It's crazy great, and Liam Neeson, now that his nice, wonderful wife has passed away, he's only going to be more like that in all of his movies from now on. He's just going to be in movies where he kicks fucking ass. It's going to be amazing.
You probably don't know this, but my wife has died. So I'm now going to follow you to another country. And somehow miraculously find you in that country. It might take 3 or 4 hours. But then,
it will be a busy afternoon when I come and find you.
I will use my bullet dodging abilities to kill you with my shoe.
And I won't be happy when I find you because I will have skipped my nap that day. So, in Taken, in the trailer, I just love that the girl, he goes, get under the bed. And the girl crawls under the bed and he goes, okay, now you're going to be taken. It's like, really?
Let him be comfortable.
Come on! Why did I get under the bed to be taken? Why don't I just wait and be taken?
Let her sit in a nice easy chair or something. Yeah. Like,
sit
relax
in the
for
corner of the room. Cry to yourself. Because you're about to be taken. Instead, it's like he thinks he's giving her a chance. Get under the bed! Oh, great idea, Dad! You're going to be taken. Why am I under the bed?
Why did you tell me to go to the open door? Because then you wouldn't be taken. Whose side are you on? Shit, you're right. That was not one of my special skills.
I've been trained to support the premise of this movie. Okay, so it's time to play the Leonard Maltin game. Woo! Oh, my God. Now, there's an occasional detractor to the Leonard Maltin game. There's an occasional person that writes to me, I don't like your stupid games. So if you're here tonight, applaud if you do not like the Leonard Maltin game. That's the point I'm trying
deafening
to make.
Deafening silence.
That's what I'm trying to say. Is the people that are the diehard fans, they like it, and I'm going to keep doing it, and don't tell me not to. If you tell me not to, the next words out of my mouth are, okay, get under the bed. All right, so let's get some... I got to move around a little bit here. Hopefully I'm not attached to this thing. All right, good. Here we go. Let's get some... Scott and Dana and Michael will be playing for some people in the crowd. It's always people up close that got here early. Would you like somebody to play for you?
Please.
All right, what's your name?
Delaney.
All right. You know what? I'm going to move on to someone who has a real name. All right.
I have to play for her.
Delaney, do you mind if Dana plays for you?
No, go ahead.
You know why?
All right, Dana's going to play for her.
No, go
Dana
ahead.
Delaney.
Oh, Dana Delaney. I like that.
Who supposedly only wipes her ass with wet naps. Interesting little factoid about Dana Delaney.
I love that, that was the tech person's one request is no one drop that mic. And only that one.
Don't drop that microphone, whatever you do. I'll do it.
That's the Radio Shack non-dropper.
What's your name, dude?
John.
John, I saw you outside in the line early and appreciate you coming out. And who would you like to play for you?
Michael Ian Black.
You got it.
You're
all right,
man,
sorry,
John.
Scott. Guy has no confidence in you. And rightfully so. And let's have this lady with the tea
Doug,
cake.
Doug, I hope you're kidding when you say that.
She has a shirt on that says Tea Cake Bake Shop, So pardon me if I'm distracted.
I smoke a lot of weed.
Fancy cakes.
What's your name?
Anna.
Anna, and you. So Scott's gonna play for you. I'm sorry. Sorry. So Scott's playing for Anna.
If Scott wins, he'll receive a dozen fancy cakes.
Dana. Dana is playing. I mean, Mr. Burns is playing for Delaney.
Don't cross her.
And Michael is playing for John. People say I smoke a lot of weed. All right, but I won't remember again, so you guys keep track of that shit. I've got to go to the Leonard Maltin app on my phone, and I will proceed to tell you that the theme for today's Leonard Maltin game is motion pictures that take place in San Francisco. I know how to suck up to a specific audience. And there are quite a few, and
I can only think of Innerspace.
Please! I beg of you not to name movies! That was good, though. That wasn't one that... And why... do you think it takes place in San Francisco because of that one scene where Dennis Quaid is running around with a sheet around his waist on a very hilly street?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't remember...
Because it's in San Francisco, that hilly street. That was not like...
Yeah.
It was a trans, unless it was the Detroit Transamerica Pyramid in North Beach.
But like most San Francisco based movies have a chase scene, and right. Innerspace didn't really have a scene like of cars flying off of the.
I get out of chase scene in Meg Ryan. Then again, so did Russell Crowe and Dennis Quaid. Meet me in the attic.
I would so drop this mic again if I was told not to. All right, let's start with Michael, who is playing for
John.
I was gonna know it. All right, Michael. On this particular, let's pick a year and we'll decide which movie we're gonna play. What do you prefer, 1982, 1978, or 1995? Five or six? It's five.
No, go with the 90s.
Okay, so 95. This is a motion picture from 1995. Thank you, Leonard Maltin app, for working in this bombshell of a club. Did I ever mention we're at the Punchline in San Francisco? I don't think I did.
Yay!
I do not think I did. All right, so Leonard Maltin gave this movie 2 stars. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a clue from the review. I'll give you a clue from the review. The movie includes an exciting SF car chase. And there are... Let's see here. Oh, motherfuck. Movie artwork. I don't want to see that. That's unnecessary, Leonard. Who needs to see the artwork to decide? Just the description would be nice. Oh, the app is totally flipping out on me.
If this is a movie with artwork, I definitely know what it is.
A lot of movies come out without posters, so you narrowed it down. All right, here we go. That's the clue, is that it's got a chase scene in it. And then the year is 1995. Takes place in San Francisco, and there are... 12 names. How many names do you think you can get it in?
12.
Michael Ian Black. He bits 12 names. Let's go to Dana Gould. How many names do you think you can
names
get
it in? Names of actors in the movie or names of...
Yes, you've been on the show before and you've done quite well at this game.
And we checked with you beforehand. Do you know how to play this?
I was conflating names with words. I'll go with 4.
Wow. See, pretends to not know how it's played. Makes an evil bid. Scott Aukerman, you could win
0.
By telling him to name it.
0.
You could do it in 0?
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott Aukerman could do it in 0 names. So if Scott fails to do it in 0 names, then Michael will win the point. And it doesn't sound fair, but it is. What's that movie, Scott?
Jade.
That's what it is! Holy shit, fucker cockballs!
Okay.
Holy shit, fucker cockballs. No names. Can you believe this bullshit? If I were you guys, I'd walk off a stage right now.
I don't know. I'm impressed by him and depressed by him at the same time.
That movie, of course, was directed by William Friedkin and starred David Caruso. As he played a character that was like, he wanted to solve crimes, but he's also a complete douchebag about it. And somebody must have watched Jade and went, let's make that a TV series. Linda Fiorentino was in it. Chaz Palminteri, Michael Biehn. Richard Crenna. Kevin Teig would have been the first name. That guy's a great character actor. He was awesome in Roadhouse.
It's too soon.
Yeah, who, you know who's not good in Roadhouse? That guy who died a couple months ago. That guy sucked. All right, here we go.
We have to do a movie about a bouncer. The story must be told.
It can't just be a TV show. It's got to be up there on a big screen.
Guys, be nice. Okay, so who got the point that time? Michael got the point, so we'll start with Dana.
Why does Michael get the point?
I guessed it right. For knowing the answer.
You got it right. You got it right.
This is a fucking crazy game.
You got it right. Well, that's why I asked. Alex Trebek doesn't ask because he knows. I ask because you might have to help me out. All right, so Scott got the point. Michael is first. Here's your choices. Because he's next in line. You don't get to go all first because right. You got a point. You gotta give
well,
the underdog
me. I'm
a
nice.
Chance. What?
Go down the line.
Comes
he started.
This way.
It's my turn.
Goes that way.
It was his turn.
I started.
He started. Last
then it went to you. Then
I
he
haven't
won.
Done me yet.
No, then he Bring... won. You said four names.
Yes.
Then he got it in zero.
Yes.
Now we're back over here.
No. Have you ever played this game before?
You guys are obsessed with making this right.
The prizes
aren't that good.
By your rules, it could always be Mike's turn. We could be in a Mobius loop of Michael Ian Black.
Yeah, this thing is rigged, Dana.
Also a euphemism.
All right, we'll start
this
with Dana.
Podcast,
I don't know why we're starting with
podcast.
Dana.
I'll go back.
I'll go back and look at the tape. I don't know why we have to start with Dana, but...
We're not starting. We've already started.
I know. It goes into this thing. That guy is so adamant about how my game is played. I'm going to make him
the
host.
He's furious about the Leno Conan thing, too. He just has a sense of right and wrong.
Oh, yeah, right and wrong. Okay, so Dana.
Why Dana?
Now, how did I become the Jay Leno of this game? I want everything! Yeah, I'm just a regular guy. Give me everything you have.
Jesus. You greedy bastard. But you know, in life now, I ask myself, you know, J-L-D. What would Jay Leno do? Oh, I'll just take what I want. Okay.
WWJLT. What would Jay Leno take?
I love to order the JLT
Dana,
sometime, by the way.
Dana, do you want a movie from 92, 78, or 83?
I'll take 78. I bet I know it already.
Here we go. Oh, you do. All right. This movie got 2.5 stars from Mr. Len Maltin. Mm. It takes place in San Francisco, as we've mentioned. And Leonard calls it... Hitchcock plagiarism detract. Yeah. If I ever meet Leonard Maltin, that's my first question. What the fuck does that mean?
Is he just doing a tone poem? Like, what?
He says a bunch of things, and then he goes, and Hitchcock plagiarism detract.
That's an old macaroni and cheese flavor.
I'm often detracted by plagiarism, especially when Hitchcock's involved. There are...
I can do it, no names.
12 names, and you say
no
zero names.
Right.
See, that's why I wanted to cheat and start
four?
With him.
All right.
No, you can say zero.
Zero names.
All right, name it.
Dress to Kill.
Oh, that's an interesting guess, especially considering it didn't take place in San Francisco. Did it? Dress to Kill?
Is it the same director?
I think they were in New York. It's not Brian De Palma, no.
No, then I'm wrong.
And I don't know if De Palma ever did a movie in San Francisco. Does anybody else know? Oh, Scarface.
Scarface?
So who gets the point then if he didn't get it? Yeah, don't look around, guy who's telling me how to do it.
They both get to guess, but it's to steal the point.
They both get to guess? We've never done that before. Do you guys have a guess, either of you?
I have no guess.
No, they don't have a guess.
We're through the looking glass, people!
I think no one gets the point, right?
Well, what you could
he
do...
He should get the point.
Okay, yeah, I get the point because I'm not going to get any
fucking
guess.
I've taken this round of the cornfield. Dan Delaney's
going to
be
ruined know
everything.
Does anybody in the audience know it? What is it?
Foul play.
Foul play is right. Dude, the audience knew it.
Foul play?
What
foul play,
it?
Yeah. They had that great chase scene where they're trying to save the Pope from getting assassinated during the opera.
What does he mean by
What does he mean?
Kojak Bang Bang.
What was the last word in the description?
That's probably the worst part of that fucking movie.
Detract?
Yeah, detract.
Meaning?
It was a detract. like the whole time you're watching, you're like, God damn it, I'm detract because this is just like a Hitchcock movie.
Is it a word?
Like, he thought it was too much like Vertigo, I guess.
What is it? Is it a word?
Because they have the same. They show the same shot of the San Francisco Bridge. But I thought, you know, that guy Colin Higgins that made the movie. I thought he was an interesting. You know, he did 9 to 5 and
what a way to make a living.
Harold and Maude.
Boy.
Harold and Maude was his first movie, and that was when Chevy Chase was like, he did it. He went to movie star with that one movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was really great in that. All right.
He also went
and
from
Dudley
zero
Moore.
To
Dudley Moore.
Seconds.
We can blame that movie. We can blame that movie on Dudley Moore.
Soon.
Clubfoot.
I'm still reeling from casual dropping of the word detract.
Yeah, I'll talk to Leonard about that.
Yeah.
Doug, is
that'll
my
be
turn?
When we have a sit down, that's gonna be question number one.
Radiohead just released their detract, and it was so good, you guys. I gave them $3,000 for it. It was pay what you want.
Okay, now it's Michael's turn.
No, it's my turn. We're starting with Scott now.
Fuck.
We're starting with Scott. And right. Michael and Scott each have a point. First person to two wins.
I want 92.
You got it.
And I'm going to guess it in zero names because I have to go pee before my show. The Rock.
The Rock was 1996 because that was another one I was going to do. It was 1992, buddy. I mean, I said that like that was the answer. No, it's not The Rock. It's 1992. I picked a movie that takes place in San Francisco in 1992 called 1992. Nobody saw it. It's in my brain. No, it was... the answer was Basic Instinct. Was in 1992.
Well, we could have played.
Oh, well, I guess so. I'll happily take the point without playing. You're still going to play. No, that's the thing. Now, whichever one of you gets this next one, you'll win.
That's the movie where we learned
that wrap
Sharon,
this up.
Sharon Stone so has
who's
a
playing, who's Scott playing for? Sorry, lady. I'll still take some tea cakes.
Prepare to warm your fancy cakes.
Okay, so which one of you wants to start it off? Because I don't know where we're at.
Go.
It's on me.
Okay, it's on you. 72 or 93?
72.
72, wow.
I know it.
Dana thinks he knows it, but Michael's first.
Good.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
This is from 1972.
Show of the car chase?
It's in San Francisco, so of course there's probably a car chase.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard says, let me pick out something that's a good clue but not a great clue. He calls the lead actress in the movie impish. That is a horrible clue. I can't wait till you guys hear what this movie is. The lead actress is impish. Okay, she's kind of impish. What do you mean, how many stars?
Good question. How many stars?
3 stars.
Okay.
You get mad at the audience member, but when it's a guest, it's only fair. All right. And there are 10 names. 11 names. There's 11 names. It's hard to add them up fast.
I only get one bid?
Well, you could start the bidding. Dana seems like he already knows it.
And there's 11
names?
There's 11?
Now he just did this. 11 names, yeah.
I can name it in 14.
I will add names, because I know this movie so well, I can give you the extra names. Three words. See, he's being clever at saying three words from the title.
No, go ahead.
Because it's a three-word title.
That's not what I thought it was.
Oh, good.
I thought it was under the yum-yum tree.
Okay, let me give you guys another clue. First one knows it, blurt it out.
All right, here we go.
Look for John Biner.
Jesus.
When don't I?
And Randy Quaid.
The Lion King 2.
At the hotel banquet. There's a scene with a hotel banquet featuring John Biner.
Oh!
And Randy Quaid.
What's up, Doc?
That's right! Dana Gould takes it. Isn't that funny that he calls Barbra Streisand impish?
Impish.
Oh, she's so fucking impish in that movie. She's totally like a magical dwarf.
And not
dwarf.
A mule-faced so-and-so.
Mule-faced so-and-so. Dana Gould, everybody.
Congratulations, Dana.
Scott Aukerman is here. Tune in to the Scott Aukerman Comedy Death Ray podcast. Who was our winner? Who was Dana playing for?
Delaney was
playing for Delaney, of course. Dana Delaney, you were so good on China Beach.
Why can't you just wipe your butt with dry paper?
You win. Why Doug, it, Doug Benson, Unbalanced Load, available on Comedy Central Records. You win Doug Benson, Professional Humoridian, available at AST Records. You win talent. The motion picture Super High Me, available wherever CDs are sold. And you win a two trunk to Dweet shirt. It's an extra large, so you sleep in it because you're a sexy young lady. And thank you very much, Delana. And thank you, Delana. Change your name to Delana. It's easier.
That's
easier for me to say.
Cause everybody to be late. Oh, it's Delana again. We can't leave.
And Michael Ian Black, everybody. Dana Gould,
thank
Michael
you,
Ian Black,
everybody.
Scott Aukerman. And here, really quick. Since you came in third place, you get to pick who the shithead is. So whisper it to me. Who the shithead is?
Who?
That's not nice. And as always,
nice.
Michael Ian Black is a shithead.
What?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, because Doug.